Log Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Saturday is Black by Color Only Day here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right, too, when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us, too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are, too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. You're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Lorianne.
Hello, hello. Happy Friday. Friday is here again. The skies above are clear again, especially for Oregon. We actually have clear skies, so we got to celebrate that.
Yeah, we had sunshine 65 here today, so it was just a beautiful day. But this week I've been kind of out of it, as on Tuesday I had surgery on my left eye, had a cataract taken out, had a new lens put in, and it's really amazing how well I can see out of it, except when it comes to reading. I'm not so good at that because it doesn't autofocus like your regular lens does, so I have to put on glasses so I can see what's on the screen. But other than that, I can see the antennas on top of the mountain out here now, which I couldn't before. It's great. Hello, Sally. Good to see you there.
Very nice.
So, and
awesome. I'm glad that it went well. I was thinking of you, just so that you know, because you had said that you were going to have the surgery. And I was hoping that everything went well, and I'm glad to hear that it did and that your eyesight is better. But you still need reading glasses, but that's okay, you know.
Well, I've
I'm glad it went well. And now you can watch Final Destination 5, which that has the eye surgery scene that I warned you not to watch before going in. So now it's okay for you to watch it.
Yeah, and I might just do that. But what I had planned for the show tonight, I had several things that I was going to talk about. And thank you, Sally. I got a thing from Dan Bongino's show this week, where he was got a letter from a Marine that had fought in Afghanistan. And he said, this was one of these guys that fought the war but never talked about it. And this letter that he read was really one of these, it really caught you. And I wanted to play that before we started anything tonight. And here it is.
We acknowledge our veterans today and we salute them. But rather than just giving perfunctory thank you for your service, which is nice, and we should say that because we do thank them for their service, sometimes I think on my show, I think we need to do more than that. Not sometimes, all the time. What does their service mean? What exactly have they given up for you? You may say to yourself, well, you know, they serve. They go in the military and they come home and they fight for freedom and liberty for us and for others. Oh, yeah, they do that. But they leave a lot more. It's going to be hard for me. It may be hard for you, too, but this is a message I got. I was given permission a while ago to share it. It's about a year or so old. It's a message I got from, he said, let's just say a friend of mine I met through a prior line of work. He was a Marine and a badass one. This guy was a real deal. A quiet guy who never ever spoke about why he had this patina. Just this wall you couldn't crack through it. Crust around it you couldn't get through. And then one day I got this email from him. Keep in mind, this is a guy who never spoke about his feelings or what he did. He didn't go on campus pretending to be Chuck Norris in Invasion USA in my prior line of work. Never mentioned anything about it. And one day I got this email. I want you to listen. It'll be hard to get through. Hey, Dan, great podcast today. I really felt that. A lot of people don't understand what it's like coming home from combat after doing things for your country. We have to live with what we've done. I feel I forfeited any chance to see my daughters in the afterlife. When your ROEs were to smoke check anyone with a shovel and an orange bucket, including kids, it was like the Wild West. And your enemy changes you. You grow a hate inside you that you can't come to terms with. You watch your Marines die. You watch them get maimed, losing legs, arms, private parts, all the while knowing the locals knew where the IEDs and ambushes were, but they didn't tell you during the many shuras you sat in. Usually they were 15 to 20 pounders, which would take out a leg or both. Sometimes a hand and part of an arm if you were carrying your weapon at low ready. The worst was the 50 to 75 pounder that turns you into what we called the pink mist. We backed the truck up and put the pieces in the back using a poncho, and the kid next to him, who was in shock while dropping every ordnance we had from fixed rotary wing, artillery and mortars, we watched the local kid taunt us by raping dogs and cutting off their ears and tails in front of our faces, knowing we couldn't do anything about it. You hate them. You hate their women. You hate your chain of command who never leave the wire and yell at you when you get back because you had on white socks or cuffed your sleeves to see your wrist coming. I went 3 months without a shower and got yelled at for not having a haircut by some senior leadership who finally visited my forward operating base. I watched the first sergeant chew out a fellow squad leader. His pant leg crept up and showed his white socks all while he was standing next to our makeshift helo pad with his dead Marine on a stretcher waiting for evacuation. You hate your government and the brass because they sent you out to clear the Taliban and you knew you would give it all back, but they wanted to give their combat action ribbon to get their full bird or first star. I would sit by a fire at night with a squad leader who lost his Marine to an IED drinking vodka. I was a functioning alcoholic in combat. You hate yourself because you feel that way. And yes, we gave it right back to the Taliban. There were 25 killed in action and more than 200 wounded in action. Less for nothing. Not for U.S. freedom, not for our way of life. Not for Afghanistan democracy, not for Afghanistan's women's rights and gender studies. It was for nothing. You hate yourself because you lived. You hate yourself because your Marine killed himself when he got home and you couldn't prevent it. You hate yourself because you get drunk texts from your Marines telling you they love you and thanking you for what you did for. But they're hurting because you had to give them orders to kill kids. I'll leave it here. You have to carry that hate for the rest of your life. It doesn't go away. It's actually gotten worse. I'm that savage you talked about that didn't care. There's nightmares every night I hardly sleep. Your daughters die in bad ways in your dreams. Fear of punishment for what you did, and it might come true.
That was a letter to Dan Bongino from a guy who fought in Afghanistan, and it actually tells what those men go through after the fact. And it makes me glad that I was never able to go if I'd have had to come home to stuff like that. To me, that was very sobering, and it kind of puts into perspective how wrong all these protesters are to protest these men who go across, go to fight for the freedoms of people, only to be castigated here at home. That's something that I just had to play.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those that gets you thinking for sure. I can't imagine that trauma, and when somebody goes through that, how that trauma haunts you. It touches on, you know, survivor's guilt. It touches on the anger that you have to try to suppress while you're in action, you know, giving orders and taking orders that you don't agree with. And then, you know, especially with Afghanistan, you know, with everything that they went through, all the horrors that they saw in 20 years, and then imagine the anger with how Biden completely screwed up the withdrawal, you know. It's like 20 years for nothing. All of those horrors, all the things that they went through, all those things that they're, you know, they have nightmares about, all for nothing. All to, you know, all to basically hand everything back to the Taliban, you know, and as if, you know, it made no difference at all. I mean, it, that kind of anger, like, what do you do with that, you know? And not talking about it, I think, is pretty common. It's kind of a way to disassociate, you know, because if you talk about it, you relive it, you know. It's a particular kind of trauma, but, you know, if you've been through other forms of trauma, you can relate to the not wanting to talk about it and just keeping it inside, because, you know, it, by talking about it, you relive it, and it's like, you know, opening up the floodgates, and you don't know if you're going to be able to control yourself, you know. And that's kind of the impression I got from hearing that email being read.
Yeah. I know my dad fought in World War II in the Philippines, and I never heard anything from him about what happened there, what they did. The only thing that I know of is that when the war was over, he was given a gun by a Japanese soldier, which my dad brought home. It was illegal to do so, but my dad brought it home. And that's the only thing I know of what happened to him in World War II, you know. And I could have gone to Vietnam, and they wouldn't take me. So I'm kind of happy about that one. But I think that every war that we fight, it's becoming more and more impersonal, because most of the fighting is not done by soldiers anymore. It's computer generated, and it still kills people. I'm not sure how I'd handle that. I just brought in Mike, so he's there.
Yeah.
Now.
What you're talking about with these guys that fought in World War II and Vietnam and stuff that don't talk, that's what made that series on, I believe, it started out on a History Network called Band of Brothers. So impressive is they found, when they did that series, they found some World War II guys that were willing to talk. Some that were living that were willing to talk about what happened when they served, you know. They served in the, you know, the 101, 101st Airborne and stuff like that. They jumped, you know, D-Day and all that stuff. So they found guys that were willing to talk about it because, generally speaking, those guys didn't want to talk.
Yeah.
You know? They did not want to talk about it. I have family members that served in Vietnam that still to this day don't want to talk about it. I know other families that have people that served in Korea don't want to talk about it. So, you know, when you find guys that are willing to come out and talk about it, in that frank way, look. Give it to them because you, like I said, usually they don't want to talk about it. And once they do that, you know, that's, I don't know, cathartic or whatever you want to call it, you know. And it's like, what can you do, you know?
Can I make a statement or put my two cents in? Well, here, this has been going on all through history, even back to the Roman Empire, okay? Wars and rumors of wars. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you have wars that when we go over there, the military, okay, and they fight other people's wars, okay, we can't be the police of the entire world, okay, as like some would like it to be. That's not right. These people have created their own situations over there, okay, and in most cases, they love it, okay? Look at what's going on over there right now. These people have been fighting each other for 1,400 freaking years. Not 14 days, not 14 months, not even 14 years. 1,400 years, well, yeah, years, 14 centuries, okay? So when you have a group of people that are so hell-bound on killing each other, they should have done it a long time ago. Okay? Now, my second point here is every war that has ever been fought is a banker's war. Bankers control who wins and who loses. It doesn't matter who's fighting. I don't care who's fighting. It could be the Hatfields and the McCoys. I don't care. Okay? The bankers win either way because they support the war. You know, they get all this money. They do it worldwide, you know, worldwide war or whatever. And they profit from it, not only monetarily, but they also profit from it in loss of human lives. And this has been going on, you know, ever since sliced bread, okay? The people that have went over there and fought in these other countries like Vietnam, for example, and I do support the military. My hat goes off to them. My dad was in World War II. Okay. I do support them and I do thank for their service, but they were duped into going over to places like Vietnam, for example, because I know a couple of guys that was over there. My ex-brother-in-law was over there. Okay. He's went three tours over there. Kind of crazy, but why would you want to spend three tours in a hell place like that, okay? These people hate our guts, unless we're giving them money. Now, if we're giving them money, oh, my God, they just lovey, 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 daddy, dovey ass kissers, okay? But the second you stop giving them money, oh, I hate them Americans, them some bitches, them, you know, blah, 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 blah. I know for a fact that my ex-brother-in-law said that when they would go over in these villages, okay, I've never been over there, don't even really want to, that they would send children with hand grenades under their armpits. And when the child would approach these soldiers trying to come in there and liberate them from their hell that they're going through, and they try to reach down to pick the child up to rescue the child, two hand grenades fall out and kill all, including the child.
Yep.
That's pretty barbaric. That's pretty damn barbaric.
Yeah, okay, I've heard about that one too.
Yeah, that you can bet it's true, because my brother-in-law spent three tours over there. He said, "You damn right, that's true." They did it all the time over there. Okay, they was knocking soldiers off left and right. You know, up to 5 and 8 at a time. Because, you know, 2 hand grenades going off, that's going to kill everything within 200 feet, okay, because of fragmentation bombs. So when you have groups like that despite us, why are we helping them? Let them kill each other. I wouldn't lose no sleep over it, would you? Hell no. I wouldn't. I would encourage you. Hey, you want me to supply you some bullets? Hey, you want to go kill each other? Hey, here it is. The planet would be a hell of a lot better off without these people that are in it right now, and through history for that matter. We wouldn't be in the terrible shape that we're in right now. And you got a government that goes out there and funds these people by leaving, you know, billions and billions of dollars. I think it was in Afghanistan or whatever it is over there, of perfectly good working military grade equipment, bombs, helicopters, rifles, guns. Yeah, what ammo, the whole 9 yards. Gee whiz, they either tried to fix it or they sold it and bought newer stuff that works. You know, junk can be sold to other people, you know, they can use that money to buy, you know, functioning rockets and helicopters and airplanes and all that good stuff, okay? So there you have it. I mean, we're basically screwing ourselves. Go ahead.
Yep. That's for sure. One of the things that I found out tonight, though, and this is actually, if I can find my phone, there it is right in front of my face. I was reading an article just before the show started, and it talks about how Mike Johnson, who is the Speaker of the House now, is to release 40,000 hours of Capitol security footage from January 6th.
Good.
I guess the Democrats are pissed off about this, but it says House Speaker Mike Johnson today announced the public release of more than 40,000 hours of Capitol security footage from January 6th. Why it matters, the move meets a key demand of the Republicans' right flank of conservative simmer at Johnson for passing a stopgap spending bill along with bipartisan lines. And they're trying to say that he's making a mistake doing this, but I think it's a good thing.
It is. Everything should be disclosed.
Remember, they released it to Tucker. And Tucker Carlson was going to do a 5-night expose on it. And after the first night, ended up getting the shaman out of jail, who I think is going to run for Congress or something, whatever, Chanley, whatever his name is. But he was supposed to do 4 more nights of it, and Fox nixed the story.
Right.
Kind of makes you wonder if they ended up getting the shaman out of jail, which was a good thing. What else is hidden in that footage, in that 40,000 hours of footage that we don't know about? That's potentially explosive, you know.
It really doesn't. Yeah, it matters to those 40,000 hours, okay? Because they obviously, when they hide something, they're covering up something. It's proven throughout history, okay?
One of the things that they were hiding was one of the things that Tucker showed, where they had that shaman going through the Capitol. Capitol being led through there by the police.
By the Capitol police.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all these hours, and there I'm sure it shows, video shows of the Capitol police opening the doors and just escorting them through.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a surrection or whatever. And you know, because like I said, they got cameras everywhere. Hell, they got cameras in the bathroom, okay, just like they had cameras all over the Pentagon during 9/11, okay?
Yep.
But yet we only seen one little bitty, bitty thin hair of what really hit that hit that place. Oh, the rest of it's classified. Well, declassified, dipsticks. You know, there was over 200 cameras working that day. I know how these fuckers work because I'm a retired master electrical engineer. I've installed cameras like this. Okay,
I know
how they.
And Gunsling, you better believe there's footage somewhere of Ashley Babbitt getting shot to death, getting murdered.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You
there's cameras
that.
Every door.
And they
there's
tried to cover that
door.
Thing up.
Absolutely.
They tried to cover that thing up. And
absolutely.
What they don't understand is, oh, yeah. They quote, exonerated that murderer cop. The problem is murder has no statute of limitations.
Nope. Well, it does unless you're a cop.
Well, he got promoted on that, too.
Yeah, he got promoted, a nice slap on the back. Good shot there, murderer cop. Damn, you want to do it again? Okay, shooting an unarmed person, okay?
But if all things are even, what should happen is now that Mike Johnson's in control now the Republicans are in control, then, and this the footage of the cop murdering Ashley Babbitt comes out, reopen the case, go after that cop and get him out of here.
Absolutely. But they probably won't do that because they protect their own, okay? You got to realize that. These people protect their own unless they want to sacrifice it. Now, if their little group wants to sacrifice this cop, oh, they'll crucify that somebody. There ain't no doubt about that, okay? Mm-hmm. But when you shoot somebody, I don't care if you're a cop or a private citizen. I carry a gun every day, okay? I would get the death sentence, okay, if I did that as a private citizen, even in self-defense. Well, maybe not in self-defense if she had a gun. Well, no, I'll take that back. But just doing what he did, shooting an unarmed person for not doing nothing but just try to climb through a window, and it gets off scot-free with a promotion. Yeah, how you doing? You want a couple $1 million? You know, hey, we're gonna make a captain. Or no, we'll make a dictator. That's what we'll do. You're a dickhead. Go ahead.
It's what they call a goddamn thin blue line, right?
There you go. Now, don't get me wrong now. There are good cops out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are excellent cops out there, okay? Excellent law enforcement, police, sheriffs, you know, sheriff's deputies, okay, all across this country, okay? And they'll, you know, bend over backwards to help you. There's no doubt about that. But there's some rotten son of bitches, too, just like that, okay? It only takes one to spoil the entire barrel of apples, don't it? Just one
mm-hmm.
rotten apple. And there you go.
Yep.
There
was
I think, you know, the release of all of these videos from January 6th, it's showing even more what a sham that January 6th hearings were. You know, what a complete and total farce. Those January 6th, you know, it was so edited and orchestrated and biased, and that was the whole point of it. You know, it was such a sham. And so by releasing those videos, more and more that truth is coming out, and you can't deny, you know, what a setup it was either. You know, it's like the ultimate entrapment. You know, it's like that was the plan. Let these people in, you know, open up, you know, just usher them all in, and then instigate, you know, instigate a riot on the outside, you know, get people riled up. You know, there were, you know, people in the crowd that were purposely getting people riled up, especially people that, you know, deliberately targeted people that were trying to tell people, no, don't go in there. No, don't be violent. No, you know. And then those people were attacked, which, of course, would then anger everybody around them. You know what I mean? And start, like, the chain reaction. I think that, you know, it was such a setup. Pelosi was absolutely behind it. It was, and just everything about it is such, there's so many lies surrounding it. It's not even funny. It makes me sick. And those hearings were just, there was absolutely no intention of actually telling the American people the truth through those hearings.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All this was pre-planned, okay? That, the January 6th, the attack on 9/11, okay? The debacle in Waco, Texas in, what, 93, 94, okay? It was all planned, okay? You can put them in front of you and look at all the similarities on each one of them. You'll see that they're almost identical. They hide things. They cover up things. They lie. Gee whiz.
Yep.
What's the outcome? You know, you get X here. Boom.
A lot of these things that the liberals have done, I mean, even going back to the first Trade Center attack and then they allowed to happen. And also, what's her name that went over to Waco,
yep.
Right? That type of stuff. That need not have happened. Waco need not have happened, but it happened anyway. And Gunn lives not too far from there, right, Gunn?
I live 65 miles from Waco. I was there. Well, I wasn't there during the actual siege, but I was there, you know, a week after we drove down there because I wanted to see it. I seen it on the news for the weeks and weeks and weeks that it was on the news every damn day, 24 hours a day. I wanted to see it with my own two eyes. Boy, did I see it. That's what basically changed my attitude on the government. They're not here to help you. That's for damn sure. No. After you stand there. Yeah, after you stand there and you see and you walk around that place and you see they got little monuments down there. This happened here. The FBI poisoned the only well that they had, so they was trying to, you know, deny them water. I seen the big swimming pool, the Olympic-sized swimming pool with the big crack in it where they was ramming it with them tanks trying to rupture the water out of it. I sit there and stood right there on it. And I'm going, my God, in America? You got to be kidding me. Yeah. Terrible.
Yep. I found an article earlier, and I can't find it now. I've been quiet because I've been looking for it, but that police officer in Detroit who got convicted for killing George Floyd is filing a petition for a new trial because he's saying now that there are evidence stuff that they would not allow to be out there.
Wow.
And I knew this, but Chauvin is filing for a new trial now. So, and I've been quiet because I've been looking for that and I can't find it. So,
that's the thing. Chauvin did nothing wrong in my mind.
No, he didn't.
No.
You know, you look at where his knee was. His knee was not on the neck. His knee was in the middle of the back. And Sarge has talked about this. I don't know if Sarge is on the line, but Sarge has talked about this. That's the way they train these people. They don't train them to do a karate restraint. They train them to do exactly what Chauvin did. But now, this guy had other problems that he was overweight, he was doing drugs and all this shit. Caused his, in fact, he was having problems before they tried to take him out the car. You know, his heart was racing and all this, due to his drug use and all this shit. So it's he was having other problems and he was very paranoid from what I remember of it. He didn't want to get out the car. They kept telling him to get out the car. He didn't want to get out the car. All right?
He was up on fentanyl. He was up on fentanyl. There you go.
Right? Yeah. And you look at him versus all those cops around him. Derek Chauvin was maybe 100, 170. He was maybe just a tad bit bigger than Gunslinger, all right? The other cops maybe a little bit bigger, maybe about 200 pounds, but this guy was like almost 300 pounds and almost 100 pounds heavier than the heaviest cop, you know? So it's like, what do you expect him to do? You got this guy that's that big. You're trying to subdue him to get him to settle down, and he don't want to do it. He's resisting.
You know, one of the first videos I saw of that actually showed George Floyd actually able to lift his head, and Sarah, and I think I saw that video one time, and they never showed it again.
Oh, yeah, they pulled it. I'm sure. Yeah, definitely. That proves it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he had had his arms on the back, his knee on the back of his neck, he wouldn't be able to lift his head.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
You know? He did not have that. And look, I've said this about that whole, you know, there's the chokehold. They call it a chokehold. It wasn't. There's two different things. There's a chokehold and there's a carotid restraint, right? A chokehold is a chokehold. Everybody knows what that is. A carotid restraint is like, I'll give you an example. I'm a big fan of professional wrestling. There's this move called a sleeper hold, where you put your elbow on the carotid artery, and it cuts off the blood flow to the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it puts you to sleep, right? That's a carotid restraint. There's a difference. The carotid restraint, but Chauvin had none of those things on him. He was just kneeling on his back, right?
The way he was
trained. Right. If you get into a fight with somebody, the thing you want to do is control their hips, all right? You control the guy's hips, you can keep the guy down, and you can neutralize the guy. I learned that from Dan Bongino and other people that have done MMA, that you control somebody's hips, you can control somebody. You know, it's like you get them down, you control them, fine. Well, that's what he was trying. He basically got his hips controlled, and he was trying to keep him down. Now, you know, if Chauvin didn't do what he did, and let's just say for the sake of argument, instead of putting it on the top of his back, he put it like in the middle of his back on his lower back. What's going to happen? That near 300-pound man is going to take his arms, push up, and try to get up, right?
Normally, yep.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get his hands down by his sides and probably try and get him handcuffed, you know? Where he can't actually push up. Now, granted, it would have taken, it probably took four or five EMT after he died. It probably took four or five EMTs to get him on the gurney and whatever because he's so big. But again, that's another problem altogether. This is a guy that, you know.
Yeah, it wouldn't have took four or five guys. It took a damn forklift.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing as that Trayvon Martin crap that happened, and the media was complicit in making sure that there were no angles given that could show what actually happened.
Oh yeah.
And with George Floyd, they actually screwed up because they did release that one time. and they never showed it again. And I happened to be watching it that night, and I'm sitting there thinking, if they convict him of this, it's stupid because he can move his head. He's not that bad. You know, so.
But, right. It, I mean, the three high-profile things that happened was George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, and Michael Brown.
And Michael Brown. There was
right,
another one.
And Michael Brown and Ferguson, right? And both all three of them were either thugs or thugs in training, all right, in the case of Trayvon, you know. And Michael Brown was another 300-pound guy that went off to – I mean, he didn't have to go try and attack that cop. He could have let that cop go to the cop was going to another thing that happened, right?
Yeah.
So – but – and he told him, look, don't go – he was – again, I've said it before about Michael Brown. He was breaking the law. The rule is – you don't walk in the middle of the road in the middle of the day, in the middle of a highway, in the middle of a day, right? Or at any time, anyways, you know, because it's a danger. You're a danger to yourself and you're a danger to other people, you know?
Well, there was actually one more, one that happened in Baltimore. And I can't think of his name. But a cop got in trouble for that one, too.
Yeah, I remember something about that, but I can't remember where. Yeah, that rings a bell.
I think his name was Gray. Something like that. So it was in a police paddy wagon.
Oh yeah, and the, yeah. I think. Once you said a paddy wagon, yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't they drive like excessively, and he was bounced around the back of that thing, and I think killed him. One of the ones I remember.
It was me.
But
you know, if I'd been in the back of that thing riding, being bounced around, I'd have had fun because that would have been like a carnival ride.
Yeah, without being, you know, bounced, yeah, sheesh. I think they did it deliberately. I believe it was proven that they did it deliberately.
Yeah.
So they're liable right there, you know. But they try to cover up all their stuff. They don't want you to know because if you really do the truth on all these things, all these encounters, my goodness, sheesh, the people would be up in arms. Well, talk about people that's up in arms. Do you remember the guy out in California that got into that shootout right outside of his door? Remember that was, you know, he was coming home from the gym, and these two black individuals decided to rob him, right? Well, he got into a shootout, and we had one mag in the gun. But now they have rescinded his carry permit. Canceled.
Yeah.
Canceled.
Yeah, Colio Noir did a video on what happened there, and oh my God, it's just one of those, you know. Why do you want to live in California if you support your two-way rights? The last place you need to be is California or New York, honestly.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be.
He still has a gun on his property now, but you don't have to have a permit to have your gun on the property. Okay, but what if, you know, they know who he is now. They know the neighborhood. Even his neighbor said he got robbed a couple of days before that shootout happened. So they know who he is. Now he can't take out. Now he can't take his gun outside of the property to protect him. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, and I got a 111 number that I just brought in, so might be Sarge or...
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Got to hit the mute button.
How you doing?
Doing good. So
hey, I just want to remind you that. Yeah, how you doing, Laurie? Hey, hey, hey.
Dodge? Man, I tell you what. Looks like the Democrats are clusterfucking themselves with the, all these cases that they're trying to get.
And Marilyn Mosby, the prosecutor who tried the cops, and remember, the cops were acquitted. She got recently got convicted of fraud, welfare fraud, or COVID fraud, one of the two. Anyhow, she got convicted. So right now, the prosecutor against the cops in Baltimore is a convicted felon, and which is similar to what happened to Mike Nifong in the Duke Lacrosse case. And in addition to that, see, remember when they investigated Mike Brown's killing. They were determined to get him. They couldn't get him at the state level, so they turned it over to the Department of Justice to persecute Officer Darren Wilson. Well, whoever they assigned to the case apparently they made a mistake, because the investigator they assigned to the case were investigators of integrity. In other words, all they looked at was the autopsy report, the rest of the forensic evidence, and the statements of the eyewitnesses. And they wrote a report that sounded as though it could have been written by his defense attorney. It was a complete exoneration of all of his actions under the law. And I think that the state was quite irritated. They couldn't get the results they want. I guess they should have assigned someone with no character, no integrity. Maybe it is impounded Wilson, because they were totally unable to get it based upon the report their own investigators promulgated. So, you know, it's going to come out. Just like truth is starting to come out about the phony election of 2020. We've got the case of Favorito versus Juan in Fulton County, the 152,000 missing, pristine, supposedly mailed-in ballots with identical printed remarks in the oval for Joe Biden, which is impossible if they were done by hand. And now they come up missing when they were ordered to be retained by the court. We've got the Dominion voting machine thing going forward in Washington, D.C. So the truth is starting to come out. They can't keep it concealed forever. And have you guys seen what was revealed in the latest information about George Floyd, what they did not reveal at trial? The judge did not allow into the trial. They did not allow, for instance, the judge, Peter Cahill, did not allow evidence about the Minnesota.
Hello? Did we lose Sarge?
Okay. There was one other thing I kind of wanted.
Sarge, your audio is cutting in and out.
Oh, okay.
Your audio
is
cutting in and out here and there.
Is that better?
Sounds good there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully it doesn't fade away. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Boyd. He's raising his hand, so I'm going to bring him on into the conversation.
Just one more thing, though. They also did not reveal the medical autopsy. They got the Hennepin County prosecutors placed pressure on the medical examiner, Andrew Baker, and the prosecutor divulged a conversation she had the day after Floyd died, when she asked the medical examiner about the autopsy, and she said he called her later in the day and told her there were no medical findings that showed any injury to the vital structures of Floyd's neck. There were no medical indications, asphyxia or strangulation. And that's from the transcript. And then he said to her, "Amy, what happens when the actual evidence doesn't match up with the public narrative that everyone's already decided on?" And then he said to her, "This is the kind of case that ends careers." And all this was kept from the public.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. It was rigged from the start.
It had to have been kept from the jury then, too.
Yes. The judge wouldn't allow the evidence to be entered in the court. It was kept from the jury. I hope they remand this case back to the courts of Minneapolis and get a new trial for those officers that were convicted in this rotten kangaroo court that they got convicted in. I mean, he died of a compromised circulatory system, overdose of drugs. He told the officers he was hooping that day. He said he had trouble breathing before they ever put him even in the squad car, made the attempt to put him in the squad car. Couldn't breathe. He was having a heart attack from the stress of the arrest and is panicking. It was already starting. Yeah, the arrest contributed to it, but it wasn't the cause of his death.
They were also having trouble getting him out of his own car. Remember,
he was panicking.
He panicked.
All of that caused stress on a heavily compromised cardiovascular system. If you read the autopsy, it was absolutely ready to collapse. It was a mess from the drug use.
So in other words,
the cops were actually just holding down a corpse.
Pretty much Walking Dead, you might say. Yeah. He was a member of the Walking Dead. He could have gone at any time for any reason.
Yep.
Hey, Sarge, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear the latest about what's happened here in New Mexico?
Not the latest. What have you got for me?
It's about that abortion clinic that everybody says is a satanic abortion clinic. You know what they've named themselves now?
Whom? The defendants or what?
The abortion clinic itself. The guy who started it has named it the Samuel Alito's Mother's Abortion Clinic. And his reasoning for this is totally stupid. The reasoning for it is that in the 50s, when Alito was born in 1950, if his mother would have had an abortion clinic like this, he might have been aborted.
That's the brutal logic of these people. At least they had the honesty to call it an abortion clinic instead of a family planning clinic. That's the only thing. That's one thing I'll give to them.
Guys, I put an article into the chat room there about basically what this article is about. It's talking about all these trials that the Democrats want to take place as soon as possible. That it probably can't take place as soon as possible because of all the motions and counter motions and things of that nature that they want to take place as soon as possible. The problem with that is if they all take place at the same time, it's a clusterfuck for the Democrats. You know, it's like, we knew that, by the way, the show trial in Colorado, everybody knew that judge was going to find him guilty and find Trump guilty and try and get him kicked up and try and kick him off the ballot up there, which would set up the ability for other states to try and do that against Trump. So, and the fact of the matter is this is going to go up to the Supreme Court of Colorado, but that court is stacked with progressives, liberals, Democrats. So it's likely that he's not going to win there either. It would have to end up going and being taken up by the Supreme Court, and by that time, I'm figuring, well, they're going to print the ballots out without his name on the ballot, and even if he wins, they're going to say, well, we're not going to put the ballots reprint the ballot, so fuck you, you know, so that's the deal. And I'm not so sure. Yeah, they may or may not take the case, but I'm not so sure because, again, this is the same Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, that is headed by a Bushy. All right? John Roberts is a Bush. All right? A lot of those cases that went up to the Supreme Court that were brought by Trump were not taken up because John Roberts didn't want to take them up.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I put a link in the chat room to the whole this crowdfunded documentary about the death of George Floyd. You might want to take a look at it. It's quite revealing. It's right there, thefallofminneapolis.com. You take a look at it, and it's an eye-opener. But, again, today there was a ruling by a Colorado judge that said this attempt to keep Trump off the ballot in Colorado was – well, the judge said he participated in an insurrection, but the 14th Amendment didn't apply to the president, which is probably – one is false, the other is true. The former is false. He didn't participate in an insurrection. If he did, there's no evidence of it. And number two, the 14th Amendment clearly does not apply to the president. I mean, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to the president. That's what the judge said.
That's the thing that I saw was that he said that
what
no matter what.
This guy, what blows this judge in Colorado out of water is Jack Smith didn't even charge the insurrection charge because he couldn't.
Of course not.
Now,
but the judge did say he participated in insurrection. I guess it's a moot point unless you just want to put more slander on the president by saying that he participated in insurrection, and that's part of the public record, I guess. But he did say it didn't apply to the president, which I believe is true. So kind of a mixed bag. Anyway, he's going to be on the ballot in Colorado.
Is or he isn't?
He will
now. Many people never give up. One thing about leftists, you got to understand, they never give up in their quest to overturn the will of the people. Never. They think their duty is to impose their belief systems on us by hook or by crook, and they know the biggest single obstacle to much of their schemes is getting rid of Donald Trump. They probably are exaggerating his threat to them, but nonetheless, they see him as a significant threat that must be stopped at all costs. He represents the sort of populism they cannot abide.
Yep.
Hey, here's the deal. He is the first true outsider, even though he's a billionaire, he is the first true outsider that wasn't a pick from them, you know. Even the great George Washington was a pick. Even, you know, George Washington, Lincoln, Adams, all these people were picked by these people to be president. Trump truly came out of nowhere to become president.
And he never held
the
office.
He was a big surprise. Yep. He was a surprise.
He was a wild card, literally a wild card. They did not expect this. Hillary Clinton was anointed
by the Democratic Party.
Yep. I mean, look, there was a time, guys and stars, there was a time that George H.W. Bush says, just wait until I release my sons onto the scene.
They did not want anyone like Donald Trump to pop the bench. No wins, no hot.
Yeah, it's this week is actually there's been whole bunch of things that have happened just this week that have been made a good amount of stuff for a good show. And I was happy to be able to start the show off with some of it.
Yeah. Admittedly.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, going back to these cases, you know, that Michael Brown and all this stuff, you know, I mean, I look at it like this. This is, these people, I've said it before, you have thugs and wannabe thugs in the case of Trayvon Martin. Thugs in training, right? These people, before the whole thing went down with George Floyd, what was he trying to do? He was trying to pass so many money, I think, at the time.
Watch Joe Gilbert's documentary, the Trayvon hoax. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. He got all the goods on Paul Crump and the corrupt Florida prosecution, which nobody's doing anything about. They actually put a counterfeit witness on the witness stand in order to secure an indictment and a conviction. They put her on the witness stand twice, before the grand jury to get the indictment against George Zimmerman. Then later on in the trial, when she testified, she was the one who was on the phone with Trayvon Martin that night. And the Florida State's attorney knew it and didn't stop it. Benjamin Crump put that woman on the stand, who was the actual witness's half-sister, and he put her on the stand. That's why she got up there when she was asked a question about things. She said, "I don't know nothing, and I can't read cursive." The note she was supposed to have written, when they showed it to her, she said she couldn't read it. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they got away with putting that this is
and you disappeared again.
Witness on the thing. That's something I've never heard of.
Yeah, it
got
choppy again.
I've heard of, you know, suborning witnesses, suborning perjury. That's nothing new. It is entirely new to put a counterfeit witness on the stand. That is something I have never heard of before. And you got to watch it. It's on Netflix. The Trayvon hoax is on Netflix. You can watch it. You'll sit there open mouth. He did meticulous research. He went to the phone company, got all of the phone records. He got all of the email traffic between Trayvon Martin and the actual witness, a girl named Diamond Eugene. He went and met her. She had her own clothing line of clothing, and she was selling it, and he bought it. And he used it to obtain a handwriting exemplar. He said he liked her clothes. Would you sign this card indicating my gratitude for your work and my appreciation of your clothing line? And so she wrote it. Then he took the thing she wrote in cursive to a handwriting examiner who verified the handwriting, graphologist expert, who verified the handwriting to be the person who actually wrote the note that was presented in court. I mean, he did everything. He got all of it. He got all the goods. And nothing was done to Benjamin Crump. Nothing was done to the Florida State's attorney. Except to railroad a man into jail.
Yep.
You know, Benjamin Crump is, you know, the latest in a long line of race hustlers, but he's also very, very, he's a very, very evil man. You know, that guy is not somebody that you want to know.
Joe Gilbert, he got the DNA from the sister, the half-sister, the DNA from the actual witness. I mean, he's everything to tie up all. And nothing. Well, the most dismaying thing about it is not the skullduggery by these race hustlers. It was the unwillingness of the authorities to do anything about it whatsoever. That's the most dismaying thing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
Any racial
watch that
thing,
documentary, man.
Here's how bad Benjamin Crump was. There was a black murder that happened of a black cop or something down in Baton Rouge, and guess who's the first to show up? Benjamin Crump. Everywhere that he can take hay on with race, he's there. That's Benjamin Crump.
Yeah, he's made quite a living off of this, hasn't he?
Yep. I mean, he's a new generation of this stuff. I mean, look, Jesse Jackson is old and decrepit and gone, and who the hell cares about Louis Farrakhan and the other guy, the other minister that's from New York? Who the hell cares about him anymore?
Sharpton. Sharpton.
Al Sharpton, yeah. And it's like all these guys that have got they need young guys to keep this shit up, and here comes Benjamin Crump.
Got to pass the torch, baby. Got to pass that torch.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Keep the torch going.
Have you seen, by the way, that this new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's releasing all of the January 6th footage? 40,000 hours worth?
Yeah, talked about that earlier.
Oh,
we
beautiful.
Talked about that earlier. And I said, yes. Stars, I said, There is no statute of limitations on murder. I guarantee you, within that 40,000 hours, there is video of what happened with Ashley Babbitt.
Yep.
There is video in there of happened with her. You know, and if that video comes out, there should be no limitations on statute of limitations on murder, right?
Yep, and that promotion should be just gotten rid of.
Remember now, they got Joe Biden in there. Joe Biden can issue him a pardon. Don't forget
that.
He was a hero. He saved countless lives. Remember, he was a hero who saved countless lives, and I'm sure they will convince Joe Biden give that hero who saved countless lives a pardon.
Well, here's the deal, though. I looked this up, and there's nothing that would stop Trump from if everybody like us considers this an illegitimate presidency because of the election and because of other things, but because of the election, it's an illegitimate presidency. That means any pardons that this guy does, if he pardons this guy or this cop or hell, they're talking about him, a deal being made that if he steps aside, they'll allow him to pardon his son and his family, right?
Well, he doesn't have to step aside for that. He's got the authority to do that right now, no matter what. As long as he's president, he's got plenty of authority to pardon anybody he wants for any federal crime.
Yeah, they want him to step aside.
You mean without prosecuting him?
They know they can't win with him.
You mean if he steps aside, they won't prosecute him? Because he's always, as long as he's president of the United States, he's got plenary authority to pardon anyone for any federal crime that he chooses. There are no restrictions on the president. There are no restrictions on the president's pardon power.
Yeah, my feeling though is whatever pardon he gives out, because this is, in my mind, this is an illegitimate presidency, those are illegitimate pardons.
Well, I used to believe that when something was illegitimate, they would do everything they could to unroll it and roll it back. But after Barack Obama and now Kamala Harris, two ineligible, non-natural-born citizens, without even the ability to have the issue examined in a competent court of law, I no longer believe that.
Nope.
I think whoever's in power will do whatever they can to simply ignore certain things that are inconvenient for them to ignore. There should have been a court case about Barack Obama's Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 eligibility, and there never was one. Never.
Nope.
Supreme Court wouldn't touch it. No Article 3 court anywhere in the land would touch it on the merits.
No, but the one thing they did try and touch was John McCain's being born on a base that was outside the United States.
No, he wasn't even born on a base. He was born in a hospital in Panama City, Panama. He wasn't even born on a U.S. military base, which wouldn't make a difference anyway because we were leasing that base from Panama. That base is still Panamanian soil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then people made a big deal of, you know, when Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio were running on the Republican side as well.
Ted Cruz wasn't even born in the United States.
No, he was born in
his father was a Cuban national. Only his mother, being a natural-born citizen, could transmit her citizenship to her son by virtue of the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1953. Without that, Ted Cruz wouldn't even been a citizen of the United States.
No. Yeah, because he was born in Canada, wasn't he?
Born in Canada. But the reason he is a U.S. citizen is because of the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1953, which makes a person born to a United States citizen anywhere in the world a citizen of the United States. Without that act, which didn't come about until 1953, he would not even have been a citizen.
Yep.
I mean, Kamala Harris, at least Kamala Harris is a 14th Amendment citizen. I mean, she was born to two foreign parents in Sacramento or Sandy up here, Oakland, wherever she was. She was born in California to two non-citizen parents who were legally resident in the United States. So that made her Wong Kim Ark, 14th Amendment, United States citizen. Ted Cruz is, I guess if you want to put it this way, even though for purposes of argument, legally Ted Cruz is even less of a citizen than Kamala Harris. Not a natural born citizen. We're just going to keep getting this and keep getting this, and no one will examine what constitutes an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 natural born citizen. They just won't do it. They don't want to touch it. If you're born a citizen, we're not arguing that. Every one of the people I just mentioned is clearly a citizen. Every single one. The question is that type of citizenship Article 2 eligible? I don't believe it is.
Right. And that was back in the old days of
you know, like being 35 years old. It's just a technicality.
Yeah. There was she used to do a show on, this woman used to do a show on BTR by the name of Carrie O'Brien, who's up there from Chicago. And it's like, okay. She was just screaming from the high heavens about Article 2 citizenship with Barack Obama. You know? Which he is not an Article 2 citizen. Because his dad was never born here. His dad didn't want to become a citizen. And all that shit. So, everything
everything he did as president is illegal. Mama time, Obama.
You're very quiet, Sarge. Okay.
Blue Sarge?
I think so. Or he just went quiet again. And Lori's been awful quiet.
Lori, are you with us?
I am. I've just been listening. I'm also thinking about food. I have food on my mind.
Well, that'll take your mind off of everything, won't it?
Yeah, well, you better think about food pretty quick because there might be a shortage of it pretty soon.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. 2024 is not looking so good economy-wise, that's for sure. I have a feeling that the employment situation is going to be pretty bad. Stock market, value of the dollar, you name it, everything is going to continue going down. It's not going to be pretty.
Yep. And Boyd's been awful quiet.
Well, I'm just been sitting back listening and letting my food digest.
Well, that's still good. Have it, right?
That's good.
Well, I know. I know the one thing that's good that's been happening around here lately is that our gas prices have been going down. Because I think the cheapest I've seen it here in Albuquerque, I saw it today, was $2.66 a gallon.
Well, our governor has suspended the state gasoline tax, and that has helped the situation here in Georgia a bit. That's some 30 cents a gallon, which goes – actually, federal and state governments make more off a gallon of gas than the gasoline companies do. Ain't that a bit? You take every level of government that makes money off of gasoline taxes, they get more of a profit than the people who manufacture stuff.
And who is it that complains about how much the gasoline companies are making?
It's not, man. It's just too much, man. The irony abounds. Oh, God.
Hell.
Yeah,
this is the world we're living in now. I mean, the world turned upside down. That's kind of what was that song they sang, that music they played when the British fell at Yorktown and they were surrendering, and they played this tune, "The World Turned Upside Down." Somebody else start playing that now, remind us what can happen when the world turns upside down.
Yeah.
Well, for that matter, you know, what were we talking about a while ago? You remember that the guy that was had a shootout with those two guys that were trying to rob him,
LA. I saw that.
Did you see that? Sheriff pulled his permit.
Yeah, in other words, he had a permit for the very thing that the permit is intended to allow him to do. The evidence is incontrovertible. I mean, they put exercising it, we're not going to let you have your permit. These people in California are nothing but tyrants. They are so petty and arbitrary.
And what's worse all the time.
and what's so funny about it is that he didn't need the permit on his own private property. Okay? Didn't even need it.
He sure didn't.
If he didn't have the permit, he'd be in prison now, though.
No, because I've seen it on that Colin O'Neill or whatever his name is earlier. California passed a thing that says, well, you can have your gun on your private property without a permit. So,
of course you can.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, that's That's very simple. You can have a gun on your private property. Not a problem.
Guess what?
You just can't use it.
That's mighty white of them, isn't it? Gee, thank you.
But don't think about pulling the trigger on it.
Nope.
Yeah, don't think about that. Don't even give that a thought. Oh, I can't wait to be rid of these people. Nothing's going to make me happier than to see these people out of power. That's why they're so determined to cheat. That's why they're determined to stop Donald Trump. That's why they are literally facing an existential threat to their power. They are pulling out all the stops to stop Donald Trump. Make no mistake about that.
That's why they don't really like the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, because he's not a part of the club, and two, he's a threat.
They make him out to be, even though I think he's a great person. But man, they don't even want to crack in the door.
Hey, Sarge, you're very quiet.
Yeah, you're cutting out again, Sarge. We can barely hear you or understand what you're saying.
Well, I had to get another.
Hey, Sarge, I got that fall of Minneapolis that you sent in there. I've got that bookmark so I can watch that at the end of the show. Yep, I think he's gone. Well, everything you're saying, Sarge, we don't hear.
Maybe you should hang up and call back in again and refresh everything, because you just keep breaking up.
Breaking up is so hard to do.
Let's try that again. Has anybody kept track of what's going on in Gaza and Israel right now?
I know that Israel went in and got into that hospital and supposedly found weapons stores and things like that in tunnels underneath the hospital. Gaza's just a wasteland pretty much right now. But, yeah, that's the latest that I've heard on that.
It is a war crime to co-locate offensive or deep military operations in a hospital.
That
is a war crime, just like indiscriminately.
Officers
are allowed to discriminately attack places where civilians are if the enemy is using them in that manner.
Wrong, Sarge.
That's a good thing.
You can store all your weapons that you want in a hospital. It's illegal for those bastards to come after them.
Well, you're breaking up again, Sarge.
Sarge, we can barely hear you. You got to try to hang up and call back in or something because. We're not understanding most of what you're talking about.
So we can inhibit the use of firepower by using civilians as shields.
Oh, well.
Doing it.
Hey, Sarge.
Yeah.
We're not hearing most of what you're saying.
I think you can hear me either because I'm trying to tell you and you keep talking. We can tell that you're trying to say something, but we can barely understand you. So I think your audio is going out not only on our end, but your end. So
can you try
calling back in and refreshing on your end?
Yes.
Maybe that'll help.
I am going to do exactly that. So I will call, hang up and call back in and see if that does the trick.
Perfect. Okay. Yes, because we want to hear what you're saying, but all we hear is...
okay, got it.
So,
be
the
back
Lord
in a bit.
Planning on, what are you planning on doing? You gonna make a run for the border and
yeah,
get
I'm
some food?
I'm not the border myself.
The Mexican phone company, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that one thing about that Colorado judge, I finally found that article on him, and it's in Breitbart, and the headline on that is Colorado judge rules Trump must appear on ballot.
Well, that's a good thing.
which judge is this? Because I'm hearing the opposite. I'm hearing that this judge said no.
Well, seeing,
where'd you hear that? Because it's all over everything I've seen that, you know, Colorado
basically,
they toss aside.
It says here, Judge Sarah Wallace appointed in 2020. Yeah, it says here, Judge.
Covering this whole thing Mike Davis, the Article 3 Project. And he's been saying that it's gonna. This judge is a foregone conclusion that they're gonna kick him off the ballot. He's gonna appeal it to the Supreme Court. They're gonna uphold the decision, and he's gonna have to go to the Supreme Court. That's what Mike Davis has been saying. Mike Davis, yeah.
It says here on Breitbart, one of the top articles I found, it says the Colorado district judge ruled Friday that Donald Trump must be placed on the ballot in 2024 presidential contest. And the judge is Sarah Wallace, who was appointed in 2022 by Democrat Governor Jared Polis, ruled that Trump did engage in insurrection on January 6, 2021, but was not an officer of the United States as defined by the 14th Amendment. The lawsuit cited the 14th Amendment, which bans those who engaged in insurrection holding a federal office as justification, including Trump, from the ballot. Trump's attorneys had claimed he never engaged in insurrection, and the judge agrees. So, and that's a district judge, so that means that sooner or later we're going to find a liberal federal judge who's going to go against that.
Well, he better appear on the ballot because, boy, if he don't, they're going to be trouble with a capital T.
If he doesn't appear on the ballot, you can always write him in.
Yeah, write him in. Yep. Because that would only prove complete tyranny of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Crazy times, let me tell you. Crazy.
And then there's another article here that says, from a report, worry mounts about violent protests at Democratic convention.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I hope it becomes another 68.
Yeah, that'd be funny. That would definitely be funny.
Another 68. What, 1968?
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember when they were all out there protesting? The whole world's watching. The whole world's watching.
Oh, I was 4 years old. Four, five. I don't quite remember that one.
Well, I was a junior in high school, I think. Going into being a junior in high school, anyway.
Yeah, and guess who everybody was yelling at? They were all yelling and pissing and moaning about the cops.
Yep.
Because the cops were out there doing what they should have been doing for years. They were busting heads.
Yeah, and then there was Kentgate, Ohio.
The what?
It's been the cops all along. It, according to the Democrats, it's been the cops all along. Kent State and Ohio. And
that was a whole different ball game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Vietnam.
I think, wasn't it, now that you mentioned Kent State, isn't that from that point on, isn't it true that the National Guard can't have live bullets in their guns? I've heard that.
I've heard something about that.
You know, Boyd, you know who, Mike, up in New York, you know, he's on that military base all the time, or was. And I think he's the one that told that story. They said after that, no bullets in their guns. That's pretty strange. And I guess that's why you see when they call in the National Guard or the State Guard or whatever, you always see those guys behind the police line.
Yeah.
Then why, I mean, if they got bullets in their gun, then why ain't they up there shoulder to shoulder with the police? Well, because they ain't got no bullets in their guns. Would you want to be up there facing that mob with no bullets in your gun?
Hey, guy, how you doing?
Bayonet out.
Yeah, bayonet. Yeah, no shit.
What's the word, ladies?
And germs.
And germs. Yeah, I just brought in Joe Gibson.
There was another police encounter. I think it might have been down here in Texas. I think I have to go look it up, but. It was in this cul-de-sac neighborhood, in street, dead ends into a circle. And they already had the trouble with this guy previous, a few hours before. And there was two sheriff's deputies at the entrance of this cul-de-sac. Okay, this guy comes flying back and slammed right into him. It almost killed both of them, the sheriff's deputies. One may lose his leg. Because it pinned him right between their vehicles, and the idiot got out and started walking toward one of the other cops, and both of them pulled their taser out and took him down. Man, I would have shot that son of a bitch. Jeez,
yeah.
I mean, you ought to see this high speed. It wasn't this though. This wasn't just a bump. This was boom right. Man, bodies flying all over the place. Jesus Christ, people crazy.
Yeah.
And then some.
And they're getting worse all the time.
Getting worse all the time. Worse all the time.
Of course they are.
Well, here our governor's got people running around with their masks on again, which is stupid.
Outside of Houston. This happened outside of Houston. There you go. HCSO sheriff's, yep, it's outside of Houston. Here's the... This is the unedited version. This actually shows them slamming right into them. Man, outside of Houston, what do you expect?
when one of your fucking congressmen is Sheila Jackson Lee.
No, I am.
You know, I mean, how long have you been in the House of Representatives? A while.
Too long.
I mean, really? Long time.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if this one right. I don't know if this one here is true or not, but this shows a Taliban, whatever the raghead son of bitches are over there, some type of sniper, but his gun jams. Rifle, right? And he's over there looking down, trying to unjam it, and all of a sudden it goes off and blows his head off. Check that right there. I mean, it literally, he's got a white cap on, and all of a sudden you see that white cap goes poof, along with his brains. Real smart people, and these people want to take over the world, uh-huh.
Yeah,
sure. Can't even keep blowing their brains out, for God's sake. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Boy. And then just what was it, yesterday or something, we had this nutcase downtown Dallas walking around with a baseball bat trying to beat the shit out of people downtown. There's, isn't that interesting? I wonder why people around here carry a fucking gun.
Really?
It's a wonder he didn't get shot. Yeah, it's a wonder the motherfucker didn't get shot. There it is right there. Guy's walking around swinging a bat. Man, if I would have been down there, I would have had an empty clip.
Did anybody hit anybody?
I don't think they hit anybody. He was swinging at them. People were running and getting out of the way and all kinds of shit. That loony nutcase. It's a wonder he didn't go ground temperature.
I watched that video, and yeah, but you know what I saw was not what you saw. He was walking, and he was after somebody.
He might have been.
You know, he was not randomly going down through there. He was after a specific person. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't random. He was tracking. He was running somebody off because he walked past at least three guys. And the guy who was filming him hollered at him, "Don't hit it, don't hit it, because that's my car." And he didn't swing that thing at anybody, but he was definitely on the ass of somebody.
Not
just anybody he could hit, you know, because he missed a multitude of people. Walking down the street.
Down here in Texas, that would have been taken as a threat to anybody standing within 10 feet of him or even 15 feet. That's a threat right there. Right there in Texas, you could have shot that sumbitch right there as a threat to a third person that's protecting a third person.
Yeah.
Down here in Texas now. Up where you are, man, probably not. Down here, man, they should do. Yeah. Shoot the threat until the threat is eliminated. That's the law down here. Which is good. I mean,
yeah, down here, you got the Castle Doctrine, Stand Your Ground, and Castle Doctrine law.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it was, it to me, it just appeared that he had a specific person that he was...
going
wanting to get to there. If he was really like that, he'd have been running after that guy.
Yeah.
But the two people were walking. He walked past at least three bodies that I saw. Never not a threat to him or anything. Didn't say anything to him. But he was talking to whoever it was that he was going after.
Yep.
So he was not a...
Ghostbuster.
He was not a threat to...
Ghostbuster.
to many people. But whoever had him pissed off, he would have been a threat to them.
Yeah,
and then again, what did that person... He was running down. What was he guilty of doing to this guy?
Nope.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, when I first heard the story, the way I heard it was, I haven't seen the video yet, but when I first heard the story, I heard that this guy was a proprietor of a store or something like that, and this other guy was trying to rob him.
Yep.
That can be possible, too. Yeah, because it did show the details. They go into details of what happened.
Yeah, we don't know. All the video shows is him chasing after somebody. That's all the video shows. We don't know what all went into that video to make him want to chase that guy, that particular whomever he was chasing.
Well,
and
just
you don't
like
know whether or not he might not have had a gun, or he might have had a gun, and he just couldn't get a hold to it or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
well, I hear Nikki Haley's rising in the polls now ever since she took the side of the New World Order about the police state wanting to surveil everyone on social media. So now all of a sudden, mysteriously, her numbers are going up, you know?
Oh, it's her. No doubt.
He's just a warmongering, authoritarian fucking bitch. Oh, my God. I can't stand that woman.
Vincent.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nikki Haley?
Yeah, Nikki Dickie Haley.
Yeah.
Dickie Haley.
I wouldn't be surprised
if
she
warmonger, number one. Number two.
Drinks the blood of her enemies.
Vice president. You're talking about her being vice president.
Oh, God.
Nah, I don't think she's going to be. I don't think she's another one of these ones that she was in his administration and she betrayed him. She's a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Who else can he pick, though?
No,
who else can he pick? You know?
There's no way she's going to be it.
Well,
now.
Vivek, I mean, I have my reservations about Vivek, but at least Vivek has a lot more in common with Trump as a VP pick, because he's also not establishment. He's a business entrepreneur. He's the only.
I got an idea.
The only one that has been, you know, claiming loyalty to Trump and not bashing him or anything. And he has kind of more of a sound mind. He's not a warmonger and calling out the media and stuff.
Correct.
And so I think for Trump, Vivek makes the most sense as a VP pick, honestly.
But he's anti-gun. What I hear. I mean,
what if he picks a Democrat?
The other problem with Vivek Ramaswamy is that, and I don't know if you guys know this, but he had to take money from Soros. Well, it was Soros' brother, but Soros' family. To get into grad school.
Well, wait a minute. Did you see the video? I guess Trump is a big wrestling fan. Okay, I think he's a big wrestling fan. Well, he went to this wrestling thing last week or whatever, and it was him and Tucker Carlson, and what's the guy that's a rock star. Okay. It kind of looked like to me in the way that they were kind of smiling at each other. Carlson may be his vice pick.
That would be a joke.
Go look at it.
It might be him, but I think Tucker Carlson has
Kid Rock.
Other things in that he wants to get done.
I think Tucker said he wouldn't do it, but not to break in here, but we're down to the last 10 minutes of the live show, so if anybody's in the chat room and isn't on the phone,
we
have the time to get on it.
Do we have back with us?
he's there.
Okay. I'm just asking. I mean, other than the fact that with his tie, with the possibility that he's anti-gun, and his possible tie with Soros, I'd be for Ramaswamy. He's a billionaire. He's going after the Nikki Haley and people like that, and the problem with a lot of these people that are on, minus Nikki Haley, who who we understand, you know, the problem with these people like Ramaswamy and people like that is they're not big guys, you know.
Well, you know.
The presidency, and a lot of these guys, 6 foot or tall. I mean, Trump is like 6'4",
something
like that, 6'3", whatever it is.
I got a little secret to tell.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
I got a little birdie that told me something. Is everybody paying attention?
Sure.
In about 5 months, we're going to be switching over to digital currency. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not doubting it.
Ron Rich has been saying that for the last year. Gunn knows this, right, Gunn?
Well, you know, that's what I've heard, but going to a complete digital currency. Do you think people are going to put up with that shit?
Of course they will.
Come on now. Look at all the shit we've already put up with. They want it. You know, people, not only will they put up with it, but they want it. Oh, it's convenient.
Yeah, go ahead.
Put that fucking chip right in my hand so I could just swipe and pay for it. It's so much easier than digging in my purse, you know.
Problem with that.
Come on,
though. That's a way to install gun control. You won't be able
to. Nope.
Oh,
hang on, let me finish the secret. It'll speed up the lines at the electrical pumps when you're charging your cars.
Yeah.
It'll what?
Yeah.
I got my Mustang. I'm going to keep it.
Against the law, sir. Pull over. We got to impound it.
They'd have to catch me first.
You know what they're going to do with your Mustang? They're going to take that and they're going to make it so that you can't get the pieces to replace, you know, your engine or whatever, to where, okay, you can't get the pieces to replace, you know, to make your car run. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have to buy another car. Are you going to, the only choice you're going to have are these EVs.
There's other aspects of that they don't even think about yet. It's like, they can get rid of all my parts that I can get, but I can go down to the junkyard right now and get all the parts I need, and they won't think about that until later.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
Robert.
Yeah.
You gotta think this through, okay? They're going to take all the prison guards out of the prisons, and they're going to put them around junkyards, so you can't do that.
There you go. So you can't do that. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Hell, they don't even need to do that.
All you got to do is build a fence around the country.
The prisons don't serve a purpose anyway. In states like California and New York, prisons don't serve a purpose anyway. They might as well take them away from the prisons and put them in the junkyards. Because they don't.
Yeah.
Prisons it's like a revolving door.
It's
we're going to arrest you for murder. Well, the next day you're out on no bond.
Oh, yeah, of course. But these people are getting so damn crazy with this electric vehicle shit. They're starting to make little airplanes like the size of a Cessna 150. Go look up Mentor Pilot on YouTube. Mentor Pilot. Okay. And he took a ride, or he took one of these things up. It's like, what the hell? He was shocked at this thing. And he's a commercial, you know, airline pilot. He got in that little 150 and went up there, and it's totally silent. He said he was looking around like, damn. It's battery. Nothing but battery, just like the electric vehicles, only to that freaking airplane.
Yeah, I can always make it so it runs off of hydrogen H2O.
I'll tell you what.
You know, the problem with those things is that, you know, how much did that little plane weigh?
Very light.
Very light.
Let's put together a team. Put together a team in each state, about, you know, a good 40, 50 people. We'll type up the arrest warrants, and let's go form some Rangers and whatnot and go arrest these people, arrest them, you know, one by one.
It would be nice, but...
Maybe you'd have to... New Mexico.
I mean, it's just insane. It's crazy. I mean, I just don't know what else to say or do anymore. I mean, what can be done?
It is crazy.
John has a big mustache.
Oh,
Gunslinger, we were listening to the Founding Fathers last night on my show, you know, the beginning there. But how about that? Huh? Do you think we got any of those kind of people around anymore?
It's pretty few and far between. The war back then was won by a handful of people.
Yeah.
You know, so based on that, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of handful of those people even today. You know, they did not come out yet.
You know, what did it say? Only about, what was it, 20%? 15%?
Yeah, 15, 20%.
Yeah. 15 to 20% of 360 million is what?
3%. 3%.
Yeah.
You know, nobody needs 3% really, when you really think about it.
That'd be 3.6 million, right?
Yeah, good enough.
Somewhere.
I just found an article here in Western Journal. Headline of it is Arizona State Secretary of State pulls shady move to give unfair advantage to Democrats in 2024. So what else?
I'll say it's so. Say it's not so. Damn.
Well, we got 11 million people that crossed over. I mean, come on. You know?
Yep.
They're all going to vote. It won't be Trump either.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on down in Georgia, man? Antifa burning everything down? What's up? Where's Sarge at? What's going on down in Georgia? Devil went down to Georgia?
Looking for a soul to
steal? Yeah, Sarge called back in, but he's been quiet the whole time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I saw that outside of Atlanta there was another train derailment, too, that spilled a bunch of fuel. So it's like, you know, that's not in the media anymore, but I keep seeing, you know, like regular train derailments still going on.
Yeah.
It's like that hasn't stopped.
Antifa.
Yeah, it shows Sarge is in there, so.
He's sleeping.
He's just being quiet.
Did you listen to that show I sent you, Lorianne, with Sarge and Nathan on there from years ago? Nathan sounded like a little girl. He sounded different.
I have it open. I actually have a few shows open in tabs to listen to, but no, I haven't listened to it yet, but I do have it open.
Oh,
I haven't forgotten.
Those were crazy shows, man. I mean, I had people calling in wanting civil war. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was just call after call after call after call. I mean, that was probably my prime, you know. I mean, but it was bad. Sarge was in there. He got in there. Nathan was in there, too. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. I knew he used to call in, you know. And he sounded so, like, you know, way younger, you know.
Yeah. Well, I got in there and was listening to one of my shows, the very first one I did for Conservative Nation Media. Back in 2013, I don't sound too much different than I do now.
Really? I sound different.
Well, we've now gone into overtime.
Well, I just want y'all to know I never advocated for no civil war. I just described the conditions under which civil war could occur and what was likely to happen and how the tactics and strategy of either side could best be realized. That's it.
Wait a minute. I think you did. Hang on. I'm going to go back and listen to that. I think you did, Sarge. You said something crazy that night.
No. I acknowledge the possibility of it. I didn't advocate for it. I simply said what happened with the founding fathers and when they decided to have a revolution and the reasons they decided to have it and the fact that they didn't start thinking that way right away. It really was a slow process from 1763 until 1776. It took 13 years over acts, and the lack of representation was too much, and they decided they had to go to war. It took 13 years. They even sent an olive branch petition to King George III to try to reconcile things after Lexington Concord.
No, after Bunker Hill. Right?
I don't think so after Bunker Hill. I think the die was cast at the Bunker Hill. Because Lexington Concord, they definitely did. But when they declared Bunker Hill happened after July 4th, 1776. They declared independence on that day. The die was cast. It was either win or lose. There wasn't going to be no in-between.
Yeah.
So that they did, but after Lexington Concord, that was in April 1775, and the Declaration of Independence didn't happen until over a year later. So in between that time, they were trying to reconcile with the crown.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm just saying, so the first, all of the founding fathers were precipitously and in a mad rush to break with Great Britain. I mean, they were trying to weigh all their options and do everything they could short of war. It just so happened that, King George was simply not going to restore what they viewed as their traditional rights as Englishmen, the right to govern themselves in their already extant self-governing assemblies, like the House of Burgesses, like the Virginia Assembly. They wanted that governing, self-governing status back again, and they wanted representation in Parliament. Now, if they had gotten that, they probably would have settled. The United States would be like Canada today. But they weren't going to get it from King George. King George was determined to implement the divine right of kings. He was a king. What he said was the final word, and that was going to be it.
Yep. It's...
So in the meantime, you got a lot of Americans talking about Civil War. You got a slow brewing thing. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but certainly a lot of people are discussing it. I've never seen so much discussion about a Civil War, since the 1960s.
Yeah. No, it was. We were talking about it 4 years ago, four and a half years ago, and a big time. It was all month of January we were talking about it big time. And matter of fact, let's see, I got it right here. Robert, can I play this two-minute clip real quick? I'm sorry.
Sure.
All right. Hang on, Sarge. This is you, Conan. It's my show 4 years ago. This was the Virginia gun rally. I remember it. This was big. So hang on. Here it goes.
Come on, press. You want to talk or not? No.
I don't hear it.
Kind of hard to hear it.
Yeah, I can barely hear it.
Last year, really? Wow, I remember brushing here, man. I think you get it sooner or later. Sarge here.
Sarge!
Oh, it's Sarge. How you doing, Sarge?
Hang
on. Let me mute him. I want to hear Sarge.
Yeah. He'll just keep yelling over you.
I want to hear what Sarge
you're gonna have
say.
To.
Come on now.
You're going to have to.
You know, I like your spirit, Joe. We don't agree on everything, but I swear I like your spirit. You will not be intimidated, and I love that.
Thank you.
Don't let the crypto fascist bullies intimidate you out of your opinion. Don't ever let them do that. That's what's going on all over the United States, and we've got to fight back against it with all of our might. Whether your opinion is right or wrong.
Amen.
But anyway.
Amen, Sarge.
Amen,
Sarge, real quick.
The rally in Virginia there, obviously, the Second Amendment issue. I know you're a strong proponent of the Second Amendment. Tell me something. We're getting something going here on Blog Talk Radio, and a lot of people, I've met a lot of new people here, and we're talking about forming a constitutional party here where we're going to start contacting all the sheriffs, okay, in Virginia and North Carolina, and we're going to put them on the spot, and we're going to say, look, you know, we're going to put people in office even. You know, and we're going to say, look, the Second Amendment, or we're going to recall their asses. You know, what's your take on that? Well, you know, it's like I was telling you, I believe when we have spoken in the past about the Second Amendment, you and I were speaking to each other, I told you, law enforcement officers overwhelmingly are not at all afraid of and even encourage the notion of private citizens being armed. It is the police chief appointed by liberal mayors in big cities who are opposed to private citizens having effective arms. It isn't law enforcement. You know, sheriffs are elected. You do notice that. That's the difference. The sheriffs are elected.
Yes.
They're not appointees of these bureaucratic type liberal Democrat mayors that run these big cities. Rank and file police officers, I can definitely tell you, are for people being armed, law-abiding citizens being armed. There's no dispute about that. And you see the reaction in Virginia with over 90% of the counties declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuary counties. It's all it's elitist, as you point out, John. It's elitist who oppose the people being armed. It's elitist who just totally ignore the fact that the reason the catalyst for the United States coming into being as a country was an exercise by the British in gun control. I mean, and you can't reason with them. You can't speak factual matters to them. You can't point out who the murder victims and the murderers in this country are. They're not typical for the most part. And I didn't say all, because the ones that are truly innocent, they're on the front page of the newspaper. The ones that aren't are on page 3 of the Metro section. And most people who murder and get murdered, if you talk to any big city homicide detective, they will tell you. At any big city, or even medium-sized city, they will tell you, the murderers and the victims both have criminal records. Now, that's not typical of most Americans in the United States. What does it tell you about people who tend to be murder victims and who are murderers? They're not normal. They're not like the normal, average, everyday people.
Yeah. That's classic Sarge right there, huh?
There he is.
Sarge, you the man, Sarge. You the man.
I stand by those remarks absolutely.
Amen.
Wouldn't change a thing about what I just said.
You're a good man, Sarge.
Well, it took me a while to get here because I used to be a liberal, so forgive me for that, will you? I beg your forgiveness. I think I have atoned by now.
Absolutely.
Classic Sarge from 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Man.
But like I said, you know, but things have gotten worse, actually, in many respects since then. I think more people are awake to the wokeness, but I think the wokeness has gotten exponentially worse because now we have a sort of corporate fascist-type wokeness that's in cooperation with the government and big corporations.
Yeah. You're right, man. I mean, right after you called in, that was Nathan came in after you, and then that show was crazy. I'm surprised you listened to that, man. That show was crazy. I had the Michigan guys. You know, remember the Michigan guys that got arrested for the
governor
thing?
Yeah.
Those guys called
got
in that night.
Some of them got acquitted, remember?
Yeah. But they were on that show, though.
Yeah, but I said every single word I said then and more because, you know, I think the only thing that's keeping us from total tyranny is the Second Amendment. I do think they fear all these armed Americans, just like Yamamoto did, because he said if the Japanese invade the west coast of the United States, there'll be a rifleman behind every blade of grass.
Right. Yeah. But Robert,
Robert, they were doing that. I was at that show too. Was talking about this guy named John Kent called in. He said down in Arizona that they were doing gun grabs back then in Arizona back over there. They were doing it little by little. You know, how is it out there now?
Yeah. Well, I know they've been doing that here in New Mexico for a long, long time. And you got pockets of people around here who just will not give up their guns, much to the chagrin of the governor.
Yeah, but how much can the people tell? I mean, how much grabbing can they do, you know? I mean, what's the deal? You know, I mean, where does you draw the line? Where does it stop? Where do you say, no, I will not comply? You know, when?
Well, I know the American people sooner or later are going to get to that point. one of the things I was listening to the other day, another one by Dan Bongino, he was talking about how bad does it have to get before the American people start pushing back. And he said that when it comes to, like, murders in New York City and things like that, he said, we ain't there yet. He says, before the before Reagan won, he said, that year they had about 4,000 deaths in New York, and the whole population just rose up. And it was just before Rudy Giuliani won. And they had so many deaths because of gun violence in that city that everybody voted for Rudy Giuliani to change things.
Was that the year of the Summer of Sam? Was that the Summer of Sam?
But the problem with that is that the Democrats will lose to something like that. Then they'll sit back and wait until the Republicans have gotten it fixed or somebody has gotten it fixed to where they can come back in and say, now we can make this better, and they get voted back in and then let things slide right back in again. And every time they do that, it has to get worse than it was before the people wake up and start doing something about it.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Look at what happened in the late 70s, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but how much?
That's
like, what would say, you know?
You're breaking up.
Breaking up.
Just look at it. I mean, if everything is okay. Thing about Article 4, Amendment 4, 14th Amendment challenges to get him off the ballot, that it's over with, and can't do it, and they're not going to do it in Colorado and Michigan and Minnesota and all these other places, right? Wisconsin and all this stuff. So they don't do that. They can't get that job done. Okay, I said it earlier. Wanting to start as possible. And
is up with everybody being choppy? Is Blog Talk doing another update?
Most likely.
No.
And every time
we just forgot to say hello, NSA. How are you guys doing today? I hope you're having a good day. And oh, and by the way, make sure you go out and get a turkey and have yourself a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything will be good now.
Santa's going to come see you.
Don't come to me until after Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay, all these cases that they're going to fall flat, you know, trying to get him off the ballot, right? It looks like it. So that's off the board for the Democrats, okay? Those things are off the board. Now, what I was saying earlier about the rest of the cases, the Fannie Willis case, the Jack Smith case, the three cases in New York that they're going to bring up against him, you know, and that they've already gotten started against him, I think they're going to fall flat, too. Now, it's going to take time for them to fall flat, but what they want to do is they want to start these cases all at the same time and as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want to. They figure if they postpone any of these cases, and it appears that the judge in Florida is going to probably postpone that case, all right? Judge Cannon, she's going
to
postpone that case.
They have to. 60-day rule. The 60-day rule. They have to.
Well, yeah, but she's going to probably end up postponing it two more times and probably until after the election, the Florida case.
Yeah, they have to.
Right. They don't want to. And all this stuff about him being gagged is illegal. It's illegal because they're trying to shut him up, and he's running for president.
Yep.
Those gag orders are illegal. All these cases are starting to unravel on him, and they know it, and they're panicking.
Well, I don't know if they're panicking. I don't know. I mean, they're freaking violating the Constitution. That's for damn sure. I'll tell you that.
Well, wait a minute. Do you know that every one of those cases that they're pulling on him, they are using the Constitution or their interpretation thereof?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find rather amusing and strange,
yeah.
Since they really don't like the Constitution at all.
I know. Two-faced. Oh, man.
And I want to see what happens with this whole thing about the possible pardons that he gives to his family, that Biden poopy pants gives to his family, and I know it's up to him, but I've said it before. This whole presidency, in my mind, is an illegal presidency.
Yeah.
All right. So
illegitimate.
That makes any of these pardons that he may give out illegal pardons, in my mind. But that's just me. That's just me. I mean, presidents have the right to pardon anybody they want, but does an illegal president have that right?
No, I'm just sick of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just frustrating. When you sit down and you analyze it and you think about it and you think about the consequences and you think about what it's just frustrating. It really is.
And as far as the possibility, I think the fuse has been lit for a possible, civil war type thing. It all depends upon what happens with this election. Because Gunslinger said before, when they did what they did in 2020, they never got their hands slapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right, Gunslinger?
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they never did get their hands slapped. So you don't think they're going to try to put their hands back in that nookie jar? Damn right they are.
Oh, yeah.
They can't keep it out of it. Yeah. This one. You got to bitch slap. You know, not just slap their hand, but you got to bitch slap them. Because that's the only way that they're going to learn their lesson. You can't say, "Now, Johnny, little Johnny, you get your hand out of that nookie jar now. Don't put your hand back in there."
How we cut them off? How we cut them off the hands?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they do that out there in them foreign countries. You get caught doing something, they'll whack your hand off. Yeah.
Hey, you steal something?
Steal? Yeah.
They'll cut your hands off.
Yep. Release some fingers.
They'll start out with some fingers.
So why don't we do the same thing with these pedophiles and these murderers and all this stuff? Don't walk around and try to jack off without no goddamn hand. Yeah. Some bitches.
Yep.
Well, they're just sick enough to say, I'll find somebody to do it for me.
Well, probably them, yeah.
Before we go any farther, since we're still in the recorded section of the thing, Joe and Lorianne, why don't you guys say something about you guys' show this week?
Go ahead, Lorianne.
Sure. Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, right here on Blog Talk Radio. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Valerie will be back as my co-host. And, of course, I have lots of possible topics up my sleeve because obviously not a week goes by without more crap to talk about, a whole list of things. It should be another great show. It was a great show last week, and sometimes I get here on this show, there's a lot of things I don't bring up because I already am planning to bring it up on my show. So you are all invited, as always, to call in and tune in. I always look forward to it. Definitely, hopefully, see you on Sunday night.
Well, I'll definitely be there this time.
Where were you last time?
Pardon?
Where were you last time? You were sick or something?
Sunday, I was, I don't know what the heck happened Sunday. I was just not really thinking too much of anything, except that on Tuesday I had my eye surgery, so I was...
Okay.
I totally missed her show, and I felt bad about it. it was like about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and I was sitting there thinking, gee, I missed Lorianne's show tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know you had eye surgery.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
Don't ever feel bad about missing a show, not having any stress, and just, you know, relaxing, going about some other mindless little drivel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
And just because Lorianne may have a list of subjects there, doesn't mean that she's going to get to any of them, right, Lorianne?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I list off, you know, at the beginning of the show, I started being like, okay, here's what's been happening this week that I've made note of. And then sometimes we talk about some of it, and sometimes we don't talk about any of it. And but it always ends up being, you know, a good show anyways with the discussion and stuff, especially, you know, Valerie brings her perspective to the table, and I love when she chimes in. So, I'm just really, you know, I'm always pretty happy with how the show turns out, especially when people, you know, mind their manners and, you know, take turns talking and not shouting over each other and things. And that way everybody can hear and understand what each other is saying, you know, and that always makes for a great discussion and even a little bit of lively debate, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually I found that it's Lori's list of subjects we're not going to talk about tonight because somebody's going to change them.
And, you know, before I started having everybody calling in, I did my show for 6-7 years, I think, and most of them were just me, nobody else. Just me and nobody called. So I had this list of stuff I would talk about, and I'd print it out every darn week, 30 or 40 pages of stuff that I would have there to talk about. And I usually got through it. But I don't do it anymore because I'd never get even started. It was like tonight.
Yeah.
I just looked at several articles that were in – a couple of the publications that I look at, and I thought, well, I'm going to talk about these two, and I did. And then everything started going. That was about the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good discussion going there for a while.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
You need to get a hold of Bing and bring him in.
I've been talking with him, and he's been talking about starting his show back up again. Because his,
okay,
show was on, his show was on Sunday nights, but I could probably get him to come into the show, because he does that every
who's
once
that?
In a while. Bing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bing's a friend of Robert and I's from, God, way back.
Way back, yeah. And he,
in
he
the Wayback
show,
Machine.
He did a show on Conservative Nation Media called American by Design. And he's thinking about bringing that one back. So, and that would be on Sunday nights, about 10 or 11 or something like that.
Well, there was no shows on last night or the night before, so I did one. I said, the hell with it. You know?
Well, actually, last night there was a show on, but I missed most of it. And that was Von Wehunt was on last night.
Yeah. I called into that. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was after I was done.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, anytime you want to do a show, you're always welcome to come in doing on CNM.
Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, well, maybe we'll splurge like that one of these times. Yeah.
Because it's all paid for, and, you know, I can get as many shows as I want. If I could get two a day, that would be great. But I could do that if I could get enough people.
Yeah.
But Bing is actually thinking of coming back, and I talk to him every once in a while. I'll probably ask him. I'll email him tonight or tomorrow and see if he wants to show up on my show next Friday, see what happens.
I'll see if he'll show up on Lori's show Sunday night.
Lori's show, yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to put on a show to be a participant.
No, that's for
especially,
sure.
Especially on Lori's show.
Yeah. Got enough people yelling at each other.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know,
bring
I'm
him
just,
on in.
You know I'm
bring
just
him
razzing,
on in.
You know I'm just razzing you there, Lori.
I know.
Well, you know, I've got all the phone numbers for you guys' shows, so I could give him all the phone numbers and he could start showing up on all of them.
Yeah.
So, but he's, I always enjoyed him because he's got such a mellow voice, and it's like, okay, this mellow voice is telling you things that you know you need to know. But,
besides, I want to find out if you ever got, I wonder if you ever got that freaking deer out behind his house.
Deer? Deer?
Maybe he bombed it with his drone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember he was bitching on the show, or at least on one of our conversations, you know, because we used to have just phone calls, I think, at night, too.
Yeah.
He was bitching about this deer that was in the back of his property, and, you know, he kept wanting to drop it, you know, and go get it. And every time he went out there to go get, you know, hunt it down, this sucker was gone.
He wasn't there yet.
then a couple days later, you know, it would be back, and then it would leave, you know. And I know Fred and I and
couple others, we were always kind of giggling and laughing at banging his deer. The deer that outsmarted Bing.
Don't think he'd like that. We could even name it. We could even name it.
Yeah.
My Facebook friend Randy that called into my show not this past Sunday but the Sunday before, I'm not sure if you guys remember, from Montana. He was from Oregon but moved to Montana a couple years ago. He got the hell out. Anyway, he got himself a nice elk, and he shipped me and my dog Nikita some elk goodies. I got flank steak and two roasts, and then some of the like hawk bones or something for my Nikita for doggy treats. And I think he sent the like kidney or something too from the elk that he got. So like I know what my Thanksgiving dinner that I'm going to make for myself is going to be. I'm going to have me some elk roasts. And Nikita's going to have one of her elk bones.
So you've got a very happy doggy.
Yeah, it's really nice of him. But, I told him, I'm like, if you, don't throw that stuff away, ship it on over, mostly for Nikita. I'm like, I don't care about me, but, don't waste good stuff, It's like, especially like liver or kidney or something like that, or even tongue, Take that freaking tongue and send it my way, and Nikita will chomp on that for a few hours, Tongue is really good for them.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking tonight of ending the show at a little before 10 o'clock, because after that surgery, I've been kind of tired, haven't really done too much of anything. So I wasn't going to pretty much allow it to go into that fifth hour like we did last week.
9 hours.
Yeah, I think last week last week and the one before that, we went into the fifth hour.
Until, we used to do a Zoom during COVID. We did a Zoom call where we had everyone, we had about 100 people. We used to, it would last all day and all night. Whoever showed up. Just people would come and go, and we would just talk.
People would come and go. Yeah, that's the problem with this. Once you go into overtime, the Blog Talk Radio, if you go off the phone, you can't call back in because it won't let you, which is kind of stupid. But
yeah.
But Lorianne actually came up with a good idea when we were talking earlier. She was saying that if I can get Blog Talk Radio to give me a discount, maybe I can go to the next step up and so I can get a 3-hour show with 4 hours, which would be pretty cool. So
Blog Talk right now has a special for 50% off for new premium plans only. But sometimes, if you have a free account, then you could take advantage of that special. But in a nutshell, I told him to reach out to Blog Talk to see if they might give it to him. If he pays up front, then if you pay for a year up front, then not only would he get the 50% off the gold plan for $50 a month, but then 2 months free for paying up front, which is just under $42 a month for the gold plan, which is a good deal if they'll do it. But I'm like, maybe they'll give it to you if you say, hey, I'll upgrade to the gold and pay up front, but I can only afford to do it if I can get that 50% discount and see if they'll give it to them or not.
Oh.
Yeah. And even the silver plan on that one's only like $20. So that would be a great savings too. So.
Yeah, but I doubt they'll give it to you unless you're going to upgrade, you know,
yeah.
You know, to the current plan. And if your billing cycle landed just right, like if you're the special ends on the 27th, so like if your billing cycle is before then you could cancel your current subscription, which would then bump you down to a free account. And then you could sign back up using that 50% special. That's what I did when I went down to my silver. But so you have to cancel your subscription, let it run out, go down to the free account, and then sign back up again. But you know, the timing has to be right with your billing cycle so that you can sign back up before that special expires on the 27th.
Well, there's my problem, because I end up paying Blog Talk Radio, I think, on the 7th month. So that kind of screwed that one.
Yeah, so the timing isn't right, you know.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're on a two-hour plan, like previously my billing cycle would fall within it because my billing was, like, landed on, like, the 22nd or 23rd, and, you know, so – but I already paid for mine up front on the silver plan, so there would be a headache involved with trying to, you know, upgrade at this point. But, you know, if you're a host and you're on the two-hour plan and your billing cycle happens to end, you know, or and you haven't been billed yet for, you know, between now and the 27th, and you're able to let it expire – once it expires, you can sign back up within another day or two, sign up for that gold plan for 50% off. You can go monthly or pay up front. But if, like I said, if you pay up front, then you get essentially 2 months free, which knocks down that price to just under $42 a month for the entire year for the gold plan.
Yeah. And that'd be pretty cool. But my thing ends, I think, on about the 4th or the 5th of the month, something like that. So. That's timing just right. But hopefully.
You never know. Maybe they'll be nice and maybe they'll be nice to you and give it to you. But definitely, don't, you know, maybe they'll honor it, even though it's supposed to only be for new premium members. Maybe they'll do it if you're willing to update and pay it up front.
Yeah.
Well, I got
they might give it to you. Then it'll be worth it.
I got a hold of Mandolin. And she's the one who gave me that deal that I was on for 12 months there for a while, where I was only paying like 26 a month, something like that. So she cut that way back. So hopefully she'll do that for me again. I don't know. But I did hit her with an idea. So, and I also talked about your idea about, like, if you are playing an audio clip and you pause it, having it when you start it up, having it start right when
you can't pause it instead of
from the beginning, you know, because if you pause it, it goes back to the beginning, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And Lori-Ann talked to me about that.
Yeah,
you need the ability
to actually pause so that you can comment. And I think I sent it out in our Facebook group chat, you know, my logic behind it, because, you know, if you want us to comply with copyright, fair use allows us to play it, but a lot of times you have to be able to pause it and comment, you know, and not play it in its entirety kind of thing. So I went that angle with, you know, complying with copyright law and fair use, you know, give us a player where we can actually, you know, comply. But right now,
yeah,
you don't give us a player that allows us to comply with it. We can't pause it and comment and then resume. It's all or nothing. The pause button actually operates as a stop button. That makes no sense, you know.
Yeah.
So, if enough of us host, you know, request the same thing, maybe they'll actually develop it and do it.
Yeah. What I've done, though, when it comes to something like that, is I've listened to, like, a clip that I want to talk about, and I listen to it, and I think, well, I can stop it right here, and then talk about it and then restart it. And I'll break the clip up into about four or five different sections so that when it ends, I can talk about it and then go back to the clip. But that's a little bit of work. You know, it'd be easier just to be able to just pause it.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass to take a clip and break it up into different parts yourself and all that. Like, come on now. You know, if we're paying for this membership, at least give us a player that's actually functional, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember one time when the clips didn't have the volume control, and I think I contacted them, and I must not have been the only one, because shortly after that, they put the volume controls in, which was cool. It made me feel like I had done something good, because I had actually contacted them about that and said, you'd be good to put some volume controls in those suckers. You know? But maybe if I'm going to send them stuff, I know you said that you might, you know, and I did it today, so hopefully they'll do something about that, because that's actually a really good idea. Quiet. Hello, is anybody there? Guess not.
Okay, everybody well, burnt out.
Yeah, guess so. Well, we're Robert down to the last 20 minutes or so. We've discussed some pretty darn good
Sorry,
things.
Sorry, I was just muted because my dog was barking her brains out.
Oh,
I was muted.
So you got brains all over the floor now, huh?
Yeah, I got doggy brains all over the place. The neighbors are doing something. Oh my God, Mom! You know.
Yep. How fun.
Good times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, tomorrow night. Definitely, maybe we'll see some of y'all on Donnie's show, be on the main stream tomorrow night as well.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I do, like on my updates that I do when I do it on Thursdays. I essentially announce what's going on for the weekend, and I announce like my show and Joe and Vincent's show, and mentioned that American by Design with Bing is coming back, and then I start mentioning Donnie's show and Lori Ann's show and Ron Rex's show and Sally's show. So I
never
mentioned
my show.
Yeah, huh?
Never mentioned my show.
Your show.
I never mentioned it.
I can do it. I never know when you're going to be on though.
Tuesdays.
Okay. Well, then I'll start putting you in there too.
I do. Tuesdays my staple night, but I've been doing it every other night. You know, just whenever there's not, you know, whenever I feel like it, I guess.
Yeah. And that's Restoring the Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a good one. We had a good one tonight, boy. Woo. We had some heavy hitters call in. You know, professors and everything. We had a big debate. Nice debate. Neo-Nazis calling it in and everything. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Sounds like you had a party.
Yeah, we had a big discussion.
Oh, that's good. So when's your next show, Joe?
Well, what's today? Friday?
Friday?
Probably Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, 7 p.m. East. blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson.
Okay.
And don't forget, if you're in North Carolina, look me up. Support my campaign, you know. Run for North Carolina House of Representatives, District 65.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'll start putting your show in there, too, then.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We need lawmakers. We need grassroots lawmakers. We got to make this happen. You know, we got governors. We need state senators. We
You know, we need mayors. We need, but we got to make this happen. We got to stop the tyranny in America. You know,
yep.
We can't. This is no joke.
Yep. And I've got. I know there's a bunch of people here in the state of New Mexico that's been trying to run for conservative policies and constitutional stuff, and they haven't gotten very far, but each time they run, they're getting a little farther. So, and I've even thought about it myself.
I think I got a good shot this time, providing they leave me alone and don't snatch me up or something, you know? I mean, if I can stay alive long enough, then I think I can get in there.
Or send the aliens to abduct you or something.
You never know, let me tell you. You know?
Yep. Well, is there anything else anybody want to discuss before we end the show?
No, I think everybody's pretty much burnt out. You know?
I think so, yes. So, but I was going to end the show a little bit early tonight because I've been kind of run down after
well,
all
well,
of that.
What'd you have done? You had eye surgery? What happened?
Yeah, in April this last year, I had my right eye worked on. I had a bad section in my retina, and there was something coating the retina, which was causing it to swell up. And they scraped that off of there, which kind of, I just think about that and it's like, I had a cataract. They replaced my lens in my right eye. And then on Tuesday, I had the same thing done to my left eye, but the retina is still in good shape. So my vision is just crystal clear in that eye. So, but it's, so now I don't have to worry about being able to pass that eye vision test anymore for driver's license.
Yeah. That's good.
So I finally got that taken care of, which is a great thing. The only problem with these lenses that they put in is that they don't autofocus like your normal lens does. So when you're looking at something close and you're trying to read something, it doesn't focus in on it. So I have to use glasses to be able to see like what's on my screen. You know, the glasses, everything's fuzzy. So I put the glasses on, it's perfectly fine. But I can go outside and look up at the mountain up there, and I can see all the TV antennas up there and everything that I didn't even know were there.
Okay.
Oh, it's pretty cool. But I'm glad you guys were all here tonight, and I think we're getting close to 10 o'clock. We've got 12 more minutes. I'm going to go ahead and end the show right now, and if anybody else has another show that they want to announce that they're going to have or not, I'm glad you guys were all here. Hope you have a great weekend this weekend, and make sure you go and see Donnie's show tomorrow, Beyond the Mainstream, and Lori Ann's on Sunday, and Sally's on Monday or Tuesday, or I think it's Monday. And Joe Gibson's too.
Yeah, American Statesman is Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then Tuesdays, same time for Joe Gibson's show, Restoring the Republic.
Yep.
That's me. Oh.
Yay. So I'm glad you guys were all here this tonight, and I'll be back again next Friday. And on Thursday, when I do my update, I'll add you to it too, Joe.
I appreciate that. You know, thank you. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, but I appreciate it if you do. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I've been adding everybody else to it, so I might as well add you too, right?
All right. Hey, fair is fair, you know.
Yeah. Got to advertise for each other. I figure, what the heck, you know.
Everybody's gotta, number one, you know. Everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah. So thank you guys for being here tonight. God bless you all, and I will talk to you again maybe tomorrow night or Sunday.
Right. All right. Later.
Sounds good.
Hey.
Look forward to it.
Yep. Me too.
Have a good rest of your night, everybody.
You too. God bless you all.